fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with the song and the smile. Fill my way every day with love. Keep me close to the sky, help my Savior and guide. Get me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Soon this race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. We sing, Blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. Brother Mark's going to come now and lift the offering. We'll worship him in tithes and offerings.
Touch your little bride wherever she may be tonight, Father. Help us all to walk in your word, Father, to live a life that's glorifying you, Father, and pleasing to you, Lord. Touch Brother Sam, Father, and strengthen him as we knew all our strength in the precious word, Lord. We wash his name by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ.
Daddy. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamond, and nothing I desire compares to you. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamond, and nothing I desire compares to you. One more time now. Let's just worship him. There's a need tonight. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamond, and nothing I desire compares to you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Let's turn over to page 80 in the red book. Amen. 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 We have, I think we do. Our son and his wife are probably traveling back from up in New Jersey. Lord be with them, give them journey's mercy. And my son's mother-in-law has been to a funeral out in Denver, Colorado, and she's probably traveling back from out there. So, Lord, just be with them and touch them in a special way and give them journey's mercy. We in Eflin. There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride united with the groom. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King, hallelujah. We shall see the King, glory, glory. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Are you ready? Should your Savior come today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure, the vow can never stay. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King, hallelujah. We shall see the King, glory, glory. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power, oh hallelujah. Will the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh my brother, are you ready for the call? Amen. To crown your Savior, King, and Lord of all. The kingdoms of this world shall soon before Him fall. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King, hallelujah. We shall see the King, glory, glory. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's here. Amen. He's here. He's here. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise, oh hallelujah, 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 Jesus now. Thank you, sister. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. Hallelujah. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us praise, oh yes, Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. Think about it now. We're going to sing it one more time. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus now. Here's the answer right here. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise, oh hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll change order of service. Amen. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You.
Do you?
I want to see You.
See Him, don't you?
Hallelujah.
And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, and then we'll go back to Genesis 1. Ephesians 1, Genesis 1. There's the scripture that I finally remembered that. about the Psalms, where they were entering the temple. They were singing and going up these 15 steps, and they went up. And you know how I had told Brother Dick about it the other day, that the guide told us they sung these from Psalms 123, 122 to 136 as they were entering the temple and going up the steps and climbing, going in for service. So I'd been promising him I'd get them for him, and I keep forgetting it. But I'll finally get my memory a little bit to where I can remember it. But good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We thought we had visitors. We did, but evidently they had to take her back home or something. So, you know, we're sorry about that. Just pray for the lady. Okay. Remember the announcements now. Remember the fall festival. We had the council, you know, before. And it will be on October the 31st, which is the last Saturday of this month. All right. Now, that falls on Halloween. But don't think we're going to be having a Halloween carnival. We're going to have our festival, as we always have a festival in the fall of the year, and then we have a time we gather in around the spring, you know. So, but it will not be a carnival, but just it will just be, we moved up the fall festival because of the bad weather and the conditions. So it will be on October the 31st. We will be eating together, fellowshipping together, playing games and things, and it'll be there on the ball field, and everybody can have a good time. Now, if you don't like the way I say things, that's all right, I guess. But, you know, a lot of people in the message, they want their kids to, they say, we just can't get anything for them to get involved. Well, that's the one thing we try to do here a little bit, is offer an involvement part for the kids to where that they can have times to play together, fellowship together. All right? Now, you know, we try to do those things and just let them have a good time together a couple of times of the year and all like that. But then don't blame the church, this church especially, for not wanting to help your kids and to do things, because we've done as much as we've could, you know, in the right order and not being out of it. We don't go around with a rabbit at Easter and have it laying eggs. We know a little more than that. We just have a good time fellowshipping together and, you know, doing that. But just remember that. If you want your kids to be involved, get them involved. Now, you know, this is to everybody, you know, that you want your kids to learn about the gospel. Well, then you don't bring them to church. Now, I know there's times, don't go wrong with me and get all upset, there's times that we can't. Jobs, et cetera, et cetera. That's different, okay? We know that and we understand. But, you know, bring your kids to the Sunday school. We have a Sunday school classes for the kids to where they can, you know, get down on their level and things. And then, see, we have some here that they just, I reckon they just can't get up on Sunday morning time enough to get here and all like that. And, you know, for the bringing their kids. Well, if I'm going to be involved, I'd like for them to be fully involved. I would love to see your children here for Sunday school. I would love to see your children here as the times that we have together to, you know, play together and have a good time, because we're not a group of cults that's got this and got that and all like that. We may be accused of a lot of things, but we just try to be as best as we can. So, you know, take a part and get involved, and you might enjoy it, you know. But maybe you don't want a fellowship. Well, that's all right. That's your business, you know. That's left up to you and all. But still, don't go around and say anything about, well, we just don't have anything for the kids to do. Well, come and you might find out there's a lot of things they can do. All right. But remember that, okay? Now, remember, the Bible study will be the first Saturday of November, so remember that and be here at 6 o'clock and have a good time in the Lord. We do just sit down talking about the Scriptures and questions and answers and things like that. So, and all. And then remember, on November the 8th, the Lord willing, Brother David Gadman will be here ministering for us on that weekend. So remember these announcements. Heavenly Father, we thank you, and we know, Lord, that you have truly given us an opportunity to be able to hear thy word, and we thank you. And we praise your great name and your love and your honor to, and Lord, we honor you because, Lord, there's no honor in none of us worth anything but to honor you and your love and your grace. And just have your way. Be with the ones there, Lord, that left tonight, Father. We pray that you'd, you know, be with the lady and everything. And we know and understand that it's strange coming in, and there may be other things. But yet that's up between you and them, Lord, and just bless and be with them. And, Father, we ask you to be with us tonight in the service, that you would give us understanding ears, that we may hear what you would have to say to each and every one of us. Forgive our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and direct us in your grace and love, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom ye have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things, or in Christ, but which cause you're chosen in Christ, why wouldn't it all be in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to what? To the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after. Now what? Trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. So it's necessary you hear the word of truth. It has to be number one first, right? That you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen. You can be seated because we're going to use the other one in just a minute. Anyway, so, you know, we'll be using Genesis 1 to come forth. Now, I got up into a certain spot there Sunday in trying to express, you know, what I believe is the truth and all. And I'm a firm believer in God being all, you know, omnipotent, omniscient. Omnipotent, omniscient, and all of those words that we could think of is connected into that one person that we call God. All right? Now, in doing that, then we're trying to comprehend him before we start talking about predestination as the point of bringing in time and dealing with foreknowledge and those things, talking about the one who would be the one that would be doing the predestinating, you know, all right, and believing that it would have to be irregardless of what doctrine you had of predestination, you should at least be in connection to the point of what you're thinking as to bringing it to a supreme God, an eternal God, an all-knowing God, you know, everything, and knowing that it doesn't go back to hard for us to comprehend once the prophet has brought it to our understanding, see, that God is, you know, there was a time he was self-existing, but he dwelt alone with his attributes, all right, and his attributes being his thoughts. Okay, now watch that in a minute now, because that's what I want to make sure you follow me. I'm not asking you to believe. That's up to you. It's not up to me to get you to believe it. It's up to you to believe, because my believing will not help you. It won't change you. It's your believing. So then I try to do it that way with my wife, my kids, my grandkids, great-grandkids. I can't be their Holy Ghost. I can't be their God. I am to them just like you are to, to just any father over a family or a minister or whatever. But to see, we've got to understand who we're dealing with before we can even discuss predestination. And then going back as far as we can by way of the prophet messenger, going back into finding that he's what? Self-existing. The word Elohim, that's as far as it goes back. All right? You can't go any further. Now, even though the prophet said it would be in the back part of God's mind, and he spoke to us about those things, but yet still, you know, the human mind thinks back to a beginning or whatever, you know, a starting point or something like that, and it's confusing, you know, to the human mind. But now, just remember this as we get to it in a minute, that God has never had a new thought. You know what I mean? He's never had a thought and then had another thought. Maybe the word new there would be a confusional point, but God can't change his mind. All right? And by doing that, then if we can find his thoughts, and those thoughts was to be brought to us by way of the prophet messenger, you know, because that's God's way of doing it, and we thank God for that. All right? But to think about, you know, the thoughts of God. Now, we, like human beings, as I said, we can't go any further back than our mind can comprehend. But a prophet speaking by revelation to us could take us to the basis that we ought to at least be able to say, well, he told us the truth. You know, he brought us the word. He brought us the understanding. All right? And then we can relax in the basis and not worry about it. And we can depend upon, you know, what he's saying. Now, we'll read these in a minute, but just think, what about a person, a being, God, because that's what I believe he is. Amen. I don't believe he's just a myth or a thoughts of your mind or some good thought or whatever. I believe he's real, Amen. All right? And in believing he's real, for him to be able to, if he wanted to, he can translate that into any other way of coming into the world, because he would do that like Melchizedek, etc., where he would just speak the body into existence and step out, and there it was. Well, yet the Bible would not deal with it. We divide things in our comprehension, but the Bible just calls him God. Amen. You know, it is the Lord was there to Abraham. It doesn't break down and define, well, that was because he went this way or because he went that way. That is the way the prophet brought it down for you and I to understand, how that God just spoke a body into existence and stepped into it. But don't you think about God having a body or being a body before that he ever brought any of these things into being? Or is he just a spirit just floating around? Well, I've got quotes for it, Brother Dale. Prophet said he It says, first we see him as spirit. Well, that's great. You know, that's true. Because we'd have to see it that way and have to try to comprehend on those bases. But is he just floating around? I try to make that even to the kids to understand that they can see the pictures of Santa Claus. They can see the guy in the store with the red suit on. And they can think, well, that's more real than the God we're talking about. Well, I don't want you to be that way. I want you to see God for yourself. I want you to see him in your experience, in your life. And it's not to just see him in mom and daddy, but to see him in your life, to see God how real he really is. All right? And being real then would put him to the basis that he would be, as we said, omniscient, omnipotent. He knows all things. He's not learning. Is that the quote? He's not today learning something new. All of his thoughts are what? Eternal and part of him. Is that the way the prophet would say it? All right. So if his thoughts are eternal, why would we want to put it in any other way than the way the Bible would bring it to us so that we could understand, you know, the doings? All right. Now, his attributes are his thoughts. Either way you want to say it, his thoughts are his attributes. Now, here's what I want you to think about tonight with me, because it'll help you to understand where we started Sunday, and then we'll pick up a little bit with it. Just remember, God is not like a man with a blueprint.
No, that's right.
We'll read that in a minute from the Church Age book. He's not like you and I that has to think over things. If he never had another thought, and his thought is eternal, why would we want to put any other thing other than the fact of saying, that's it?
Right.
That he's not like sitting up there. Like I said, we think, well, God was sitting there thinking. And he said, well, I could do this. But if I do that, that'll mess up over there. And this has got to be done over here, that over there. God's not that away. God's thoughts are eternal and part of him. And if he never had a new thought, why would we think about a new thought?
Amen.
All right? And thinking about the thoughts he had, he always had them.
Yep. Right. Amen.
Now, this is one of them things you're going to have to think a little. But this is just the best way I can say it. It's not that God had a thought.
Right.
It wouldn't be eternal. Are you listening?
Amen.
If you say, well, God just had a thought, well, this thought wouldn't be eternal.
Right. Right.
Are we settled on that? Are we thinking?
Amen.
If he had a thought, it wouldn't be eternal.
Yep.
Yeah, but I know it. It requires, I speak the way that I believe it. Then I require for you to think a little bit instead of just floating along. You know, we're in the message. We're ready to go. Folks, I think it's about time we settled down and found out a few things. Because we done been around Horeb too long. We've been 50 years around this mountain. And I think it's about time to settle down and realize the message of is if there is any such thing as a change of the body to come, then it would have to come out of the Bible, and the message part would bring it out to us, and God could reveal it to us that we could walk into that situation. Now, how else are we going to get it? Well, I just don't see nothing going on. Open your eyes. Do you realize, maybe I quote the prophet, the spirit that we use daily just to overcome. What did he say about that? He said that was the same spirit that was back there as in those people that gave their lives for the gospel. But yet there's nothing going on. All right. You keep going that way, and you know what? We'll be around here 50 more years. All right. But listen, get the point of what I'm saying. If God had a thought, then the thought wouldn't be eternal and part of him. It would be something he was thinking about. Would you please explain that any different or any way? Can you explain that? That God's thoughts are always eternal. He never had a new thought. He can't change his mind. And you explain to me then how that you could bring anything other than the fact that what he thought of, and that's it. It wasn't that he thought of it. That was a part of him. That's what I was driving at Sunday.
Amen.
His attributes are a part of him.
Amen. Amen.
It's not that he's got an attribute. That's why I've always believed it that way and tried to preach it. That God never gained attributes coming down through time. He displayed attributes. He always had those attributes, the prophet said. All right? Well, you know what? He always was a healer. Well, he can't be a healer because there ain't nothing sick. Would you please wake up just a little bit and get sensible? And listen to your prophet as he expresses things. All right, think about it. It's not just what God thought of. If he's sitting back there and he just, well, I'm going to create man. Now, you just made him put it into a bracket that means that's not a part of him. He had an attribute of a healer. He didn't have to wait until something becomes sick to have that attribute.
No. Right.
That attribute was a part of him.
Right.
He already had it. Or else, where did he get it? Are you listening? Where did he get those things that we think about? Well, he's just in his mind. Well, that was why I was trying to get you to see Sunday. That this that we'll read of this man in Genesis 1:26 and 27, 28, all the way over really 28, was a very special man. It was not a beginning. This man never had a beginning. Well, it says, let us make man. See, God always had that thought. He didn't have to think about it. He doesn't have to do like we do. Come on, are we good Baptists? You know, in the Baptists, we used to talk about that God back there in the beginning, you know, that it repented God that he made man. Well, we really had that, wouldn't it? That was called spiritual revelation. If you'd have been there long enough, you'd understand what I'm talking about. You would say, well, these other messages are just messages. But here's a preacher preaching spiritual revelations to us. There ain't nothing spiritual revelation to that. Because who did God repent to? Did God sit there and say, I wish I hadn't never done that? Come on. Get at least sensible in your terminologies of God. How could he just say, I wish I hadn't ever made the man? Now, how could that be his displaying of his attributes when that was what the fall came into being about, where he could display those attributes? How could he be saying, well, I wish I hadn't done that. I'm really sorry I made that. No, he was simply discouraged for the way mankind went. Just as God is today with this so-called bride in the end time that claims to follow the prophet's message. He's discouraged. Maybe that's a wrong word for it, but get something and put it there. It ain't that he regretted doing it and wish he hadn't have done it.
Right.
He's still happy with this bride in the end time, but he sure is upset the way we are.
Right?
Right.
Amen.
You know, the children of Israel was God's chosen people, right?
Amen.
But did that put them a place where they got by with everything? They wound up a lot of bondages because of the way they done. But you know what the prophet said? They lost their doing, but they never lost a covenant.
Right?
They never lost their covenant. No, because God had already made it. Okay. But listen. What do you think about this man of Genesis 1, 26 and 27? What do you think about that? All right, go ahead, brother, and just put number two up there. And I want to just to read the scripture. And just be sensible. Now watch what he says. And God said, let us. You know what Brother Brown said one day? He said, see there, he's talking to another person. You remember that? You need the quote? Now, was there another person that he could talk to?
No.
But why would it say, let us?
Amen.
One time he said that he was talking to the animals that he had made. That's what the prophet said.
Amen.
But how did he say it? Let us. What is that us? He said, Father and Son. Word and Spirit. That's not two people. Now, get what I'm saying to the rest of it. Let us, whatever we are, let's create man in our image. And our likeness. And let them, not him. You don't ever think about what would have happened had there not been a fall? I know it's what you call, what is the word, hypothetical, which means it ain't sensible and won't work and don't work and ain't no need talking about it, but it's still there. You know. But what about it, church? What if there hadn't have been a fall? And God could have just created us and brought us forth. Do you realize he wouldn't have created everybody in the world? Right? He would only created his people, his offspring, his children. But do you realize he could not do that? And see, he already knew he couldn't do that. He didn't have to think about that he couldn't do it. He knew he couldn't do it because he had an attribute called Savior.
Yep. That's right.
And there was nothing lost.
Yep. Right.
He had an attribute called Healer. There was nothing sick. I went through it Sunday there trying to express it. See, he could be Father by creating the Word and stepping into it and coming down that way. He could be God because he made angels and they worshiped him.
Right.
He could have displayed all of his attributes except the fact of being Healer and Savior.
Right.
But if he had one attribute that couldn't be displayed, he was not going to do it. But it's easy to think about that had he not have done the way he done? Come on, folks. We got it in the Bible, but do we read it? We got it in Brother Branham's message, but do we believe it? Yeah. Brother Branham said, Adam. God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and he became a living soul. He said he put eternal life into Adam. That's blasphemous names. I got it laying up here somewhere. But do we believe that? You believe that Adam was God's example child?
Amen.
That's right.
Is that not true?
Amen.
Adam was his example child.
Right. Amen.
Brother Brown said Adam was his first child. He said Jesus was the only begotten. Because
right.
That brings it into a different stage.
Right. Amen.
See? Adam, the part that we know of, the bodies, etc., you know, it had a beginning. But what about that soul of Adam?
Right.
He breathed into his nostrils eternal life.
Amen.
Right? So he was an example child. What he wanted for all of us to be. So what would it have been had there been no fall? We would have all been spoken into existence. And brought into the world. And you know what would have been one problem at that time? Mankind would not have had an eternal body because Adam's body had a beginning. Right? But Adam was at the tree of life. And all he had to do was partake of it and his body had been made eternal. That's how he failed. He never lost his eternal life in his soul. I'm in the seal book. Come on, the prophet said he fell from eternal life to death in the garden. Now, explain that. Can you fall from eternal life? No. Well, you're talking against the prophet because he said to death. All right, you take a simple explanation of what? Adam never reached eternal life as a full product. But he would have if he'd have stayed with the tree. That was the purpose of the tree in the garden.
Yep.
He already had the eternal life in his soul. What did he need the tree for?
Right.
Do you see what I'm talking about? He said, yeah, but that couldn't happen. So what changed? Only thing changed, we just come sinners. Because the whole story's ending the same way.
Yep.
We get eternal life in our soul by the new birth, right?
Right.
And waiting the redemption of the body. Which was what would have happened back there had they went to the tree of life without going to the tree of death. This message, this Bible that we're talking about is the tree of life. The rapture lays in this message. The change of these bodies lays there. Or where else you going to get it? All
right.
So where are we at? See, we got a beautiful understanding of the Bible. Something we never thought of before. Let us. Now, God's not no male and female. Now, get that out of your mind anywhere. It's Word and Spirit. It's Father and Son. The Son is the Father made manifest in another form called a Son. Is that the correct terminologies of your prophet? Not another God. He didn't send another God. He came himself. But you see, God is not male and female. Come on. You think the doctrines ain't there? It was a doctrine down country ways many, many years ago that still got this message people split. And what he taught was that there was a male and a female Holy Ghost. Have you ever heard that one? A male and a female. He was the male and we the female. I ain't got but one problem or one thought to say there. If he's male and I'm female, there can't be no redemption involved. Because the only redemption I know of is he's got to come in me. If I'm already a female Holy Ghost, you understand what I'm saying? Maybe you hadn't heard a lot of doctrines. But listen. Look what he said. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, not just one man, not just Adam. That was his first son. That was his example son. But don't you think Eve had eternal life? In her soul?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Of course, you know how it is, the message, they need these great revelations. Well, we got this great revelation. Adam had eternal life in his soul, but Eve didn't have eternal life in her soul. That's the reason she could fall. Oh, ain't that wonderful? Somebody on the internet, get that and make a good doctrine and run the country with it. Just remember one thing. Eve was in Adam.
Right. Amen.
Right?
That's
right. Eve was in Adam. Her soul was just as eternal as Adam's.
Amen.
You say, but how could she fall? I'll remind you of the Bible. It does not say in Eve, we all fall. You better learn your Bible. It says, in Adam, we all die. Adam brought the fall. No, he brought the blood. You just don't understand. I understand a little bit. Adam could have said, as I say on Sunday, get out of here. And God would have destroyed Eve. But he'd have finally run out of ribs. Right? See, they're silly. We think we have great things. Why not get with the Bible, get with the prophet, and understand it the way he's saying it? See? Look. And let them have dominion. You mean it's only for the man to speak the word? I will remind you that there was a little lady one day said to a prophet, Brother Branham, that ain't nothing but the truth. And because of that statement she made, from her inner being, her children were saved. Look, over the fowl of the air and the fish and different things. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. I've told you to start with, 40 years ago, Adam couldn't have spoke the word. It was left up to Eve to speak it. I don't mean he couldn't, because he could move a tree, he could do this, he could do that. But just get the point. Eve was the one that Adam was waiting on. Right?
Yep.
But before they got together in the plan of God, she got together with the beast.
That's right.
The plan of salvation. But look. He told them to multiply and replenish the earth. Oh, Brother Dale, what does that replenish the earth? That meant there was a group of people back before the fall. That God created more people than, have you heard those doctrines? That God created more than Adam and Eve. Come on. I got Bible. I like to stay with it. If there's anything on the moon today or on Mars called an extraterrestrial being, you know, don't be scared of these things, kids, and think that there's some kind of a monkey-looking something out there that's coming down here one of these days to take over. My Bible says what? Eve is what? The mother of all living. Solve the problem. Some big hairy monkey comes running at you when you go start down the road today, you just tell him to get out of the way. And you know what? If you speak to him in English, he'll understand you. Come on, folks. It's time for us to quit playing. and be serious. Get down to the truth of the Word of God. This man that was created back there was a multiple form man, which was Christ. Any problem? This ain't something new for me. I've been preaching 40-some years. It's the way I've always believed it. That man back there was a very special person. You know what he was? He was God in another form, called a Christ. Now I'm talking about the eternal life. Once you put it into flesh, you got troubles with flesh and dealing with flesh. If you don't believe it, then just think about what we have now. We're dealing with flesh. Amen. What kind of a man was that? He said, well, I thought that man was created. Well, that's what we went through Sunday. So let's just pick up a few and read some, because I don't want you to miss a point. Listen to what your prophet had to say. Go ahead with number 2A. I went through these Sunday, but I want to read them again. Some of you wouldn't hear, so we'll read them again. Take them from questions and answers on Hebrews. What do we do? Well, my brother, sainted brother, my dear sainted sister, before the foundation of the world, when God created you in His image, when? Before the foundation of the world. We haven't got down to the foundation of the world yet. When you get down to there, you can start talking about predestination. Don't even think about predestination until you get there. You can if you want to, but because of the one point. Predestination means destiny determined. I don't have any problem with saying before the foundation of the world that God created this man that He spoke of and predestinated him. But that man's not a man like you and I. That's the man Christ Jesus. Because there's only one eternal God.
Amen.
You said, well, you're saying we're back there? No, don't get that too tied up in your mind. I can tell you how old you are and tell you when you started. Right? Sister Cleta is the oldest one in here, I guess, 89. And you know what? She had a day when she started. Right? That's when we're this life. Okay? Come on. Look, before the foundation of the world, when God created you in His image, or created a man in His image, and created a woman in the image of the man. Now, we don't talk about that much, do we? Right? We don't talk about the woman being in the image of the man. Now, here's my way of understanding things. All right? If this man that whatever, of Genesis 1, 26 and 27, was created in the image of God, whatever God is, that's what that man is. Oh, an image just means a likeness. Yeah, that's what you got. You're here, he's over yonder, just a likeness. That's not Bible. That's two people. I thought the prophet taught us anytime you got two running around, you got a problem. Well, Jesus and God was two people. No, they wasn't. No, they wasn't. All right. But you see, whatever, I've got the quotes of the prophets, you know I wouldn't say it if I didn't. He said, all we got to do is find out what God is.
Amen.
And we'll know what kind of man He made.
Exactly.
Oh, well, He just made a spirit. Yeah. Why don't we read? Here's one that I don't want to go along with, though. When God created you in His image, or created the man in His image, and created the woman in the image of the man. So the woman was exactly the same thing as the man. So Adam was standing there with eternal life in his soul, a body that was created, a spirit brought into existence. Here stood Eve with a spirit and a body that was brought into existence, but a soul. That was in Adam when Adam was here. If not, where'd it come from? Simple question. All right. But we don't want to think about the woman. Come on. You're too old for me not to know what, and I'm too old for. You know the biggest portion of the ministers in this message think the woman ain't nothing but a hamburger meat compared to the great big porterhouse steak the man she's married to. You know that. Why don't you wake up? Yeah, but that's the way the brother believes it. Well, I didn't know we had a right to believe what we wanted to believe. I thought we were supposed to believe Christ. The Constitution gives you a right to believe what you want to believe, but their fight's taking that away, so don't worry about that. All right? But listen. The man in his image and created the woman in the image of the man. So whatever God is, he created the man in that image, the exact likeness, and the woman was created in the image of the exact likeness of the Adam that she came out of. May I quote the prophet, where we'll get to it later. He said Eve was in Adam, what? In theophany.
That's right.
That's what he said. I wasn't the one that made these statements. I was too dumb, and so was you. He said Eve was in Adam in theophany. Now, I'll get back to it later, but I'll stake this in there. There's not but one eternal theophany. I said eternal theophany. And that would have to be God's own life. That's why Brother Branham says it. I'll put it in because it's going to trip you a little bit. Brother Branham said in the Hebrew series, what? He said the soul that he put into the man was that theophany. So you can argue him now. Oh, but my theophany's up yonder. It's up there. According to the Bible, it says if this earthly tabernacle were dissolved, we have one waiting. Okay. We'll get back to those things. Because here, let's get right here. He created the woman in the image of the man for the glory of the man. He made you a theophany just like himself. When he said, let us to the creatures that he had made. Let us make man in our own image. He didn't make the creatures before the foundation of the world. Right? Your prophet's not confused. He's right. But it's the way he's stating it.
Amen.
See? He's saying, he's coming down to the creation of the creatures and saying, well, the animals had to come first, and he talked to them about making. No, he's just illustrating. Would you allow Brother Branham to be a human? No, but everything he says is, thus saith the Lord. You're in bad shape. I don't even have to go into the seals. I can go to a lot of quotes where he said one day, he said the black and white will fight again one day and die like flies. That's a direct quote. The next message, he said, I said that this morning. That was my idea. But look, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, a theophany. God had never become flesh yet. He was in a theophany. So whatever this man was in 1:26 and 27 is a theophany. Huh? Because God was a theophany. And come on, the quote's there. Eve was in Adam in theophany. So there's only one eternal theophany.
Amen.
That's why if we don't receive eternal life into our beings, we can't be eternal either. Brother Dale, you don't know. You just make it some great big something. Said all it is just in his mind, Lord. It's just in his mind. Let's read the next one. Go ahead with 2B, which is the masterpiece, preached in 64. Let us turn the pages. You know what he's been doing on Michelangelo. And close the book. And let's open another book and read out of the great sculpture. Read of the great sculpture. The Almighty, who before there was a world and before the foundation was laid, he had in his mind what he wanted. Now, is that enough to where we was using that a while ago? May I blot off a few things? May I close that off? Cut it off. Cut this one off, Brother Joe. Every who's there, remove this one. I don't want to let you see what you do. Well, he just said that it was in his mind. Well, we was just back there in his mind. That's all right. But what is God's mind? We started off talking about how God was eternal and could not have a new thought. Well, was he sitting there thinking about what to do? What did Brother Branham call it? Now pull it back up, brother. The two boys are running it tonight, so Joe's back there. Look what he says. Before there was a world and before the foundation was laid, he had in his mind what he wanted, and he wanted to make man in his own image. He wanted to take something in reality of what was a vision to him. Amen. What was in his thinking? A vision. Why not think about God as the attributes and things, and not that he's thinking about something, but to him it's a reality. His first thought is a total reality. It's a vision. It's not just something he's thinking of. It's like I've told you over and over. 40 years I've been preaching this, right? Everybody says, if I was just in the mind of God, you know what everybody in the world has ever been into the world and ever will be in the world was in the mind of God. Is that true? Yeah. Well, you know, Judas Iscariot was in the mind of God. Sure. But what happened to him? Right. Well, what about a vision? What about a vision? When I think about God and a vision, it's not just him thinking. It's his very beings of everything that's related to him coming forth into a, may I quote the prophet from Christ of Mystery, a plan and purpose. A plan and a purpose, he said. But see, do we think about a vision as being greater than just something you think of? That's my whole point. Do you think a vision is just something you think of? Well, go ahead and hand me one. You can sit there and have thoughts. You're having them right now. You're wondering, what in the world is this guy talking about? You got all your mind working. But what if a vision come forth and showed right here what I was saying to be exactly true? Which is the greatest? But did God have a vision of something? Or was the vision himself? What about it? What was a vision to him? What was in his thinking? Huh? Now I bring up number one, brothers. I work them to death back there because I move these things about. Go ahead and pull up number one. I'm constantly adding and subtracting. Well, let's just see what Brother Randall has to say. Church Age book, page 149, which is Smyrna and Church Age. The eternal thoughts of God, let me ask you, are the thoughts of God eternal? If you can see this, you'll see many things. God is unchangeable in both essence and behavior. We have studied that and proven that already. God is infinite in his abilities, so therefore he is God, must be omniscient. If he is omniscient, then he is not now learning, nor is he taking counsel even with himself, nor is he at any time adding to his knowledge. If he can add to his knowledge, then he is not omniscient. The best we could say is that sometime he will be, but that is not scriptural. He is omniscient. He has never had a new thought about anything because all of his thoughts he has always had and always will have. Brother Larry ought to know these by heart. He and I used to talk about church age years ago. He's probably read it about 3,432 times. Right? Look. He has never had a new thought about anything because all of his thoughts he has always had and always will have and knows the end from the beginning because he's God. Amen. Thus the thoughts of God are eternal. They are real. They are not simply like a man with a blueprint he has drawn up and which one day will be translated into substance and form. But they are already real and eternal and part of God. May I translate this into the point of saying, they are not simply like a man with a blueprint that thinks things out. That he has to think it out. He has to figure these things out and think about them. Is that any different from what he just said? See, God doesn't have to figure out things. He can't have a new thought. And he's thoughts he's always had. So what would be the trouble? The 126 man come into being before the foundation of the world. See, then the flesh man was created on the sixth day, and the 126 man was put into the flesh man, right? Right. Are we true?
Right.
Right. You see, church, we don't think about the Word of God and how it is. We think like our thinking. Well, God had a thought. He was just sitting there, and he just thought about this. No. His attribute is his thoughts. Why would Brother Branham say, go back in the back part of his mind and see the very plan and purpose of Almighty God? God had a plan and a purpose to let himself be expressed. Right? See? His thoughts are not like our thoughts. Is that the scripture? Brother Colley spoke on that 30 years ago, 40. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. His thoughts are so much above our thoughts till our thoughts are not even in the picture. Right? But see, we want to make him down on the basis of ourselves. And then we get these great glorious revelations that he was thinking about. Well, at the same time he thought about Jesus, he thought about Judas Iscariot. Now what's the... But you know, he could never have a new thought.
Right.
So when he thought of Judas rejecting him, there was no way Judas would ever be saved. Right?
Amen.
Now, it's not that he didn't offer it to him, because there's your foreknowledge.
Amen.
He had to offer it.
Amen.
But he knew he'd never accept it. Yet he loved him and done everything he could do. But see, it's not that God just thinks of things. His very thinking, his very being, his very essence of what he is and who he is his thoughts displayed.
Amen.
They're real. Well, Brother Dale, I just kind of getting a little thing, baby. I believe I was back there. Well, now, may I quote Brother Branham? It's on in here, but we ain't going to give him. But not your being here. So let's get all of this out of the way. You explain to me why that all of these seed doctrines winds up in polygamy. That's no problem. Stating facts. But listen, what about the Bride of Christ? Go ahead, let's get just a few quotes, because we got these started Sunday. We'll continue them next Sunday. Go ahead with number 2C. This is taken from Identification, 1964. But see, all that is displaying, showing by type, like the whole Bible, God coming together with a redeemed wife, a bride that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Now, was it what he had in his mind? Well, he had Judas in his mind. You understand? That was the attributes. Now, look. That was the attributes of God being displayed. The Bride of Christ is the attributes of God being displayed. She's not an addition.
Amen.
Right? It's just that God, that was God, was the attributes of God being displayed to be that away. All right, let's get a couple more. Go ahead to number 3. The cruelty of sin and the penalty that it costs. So then when God made his first man, he was a spirit man. Because God was a spirit, right? He was a spirit man. But remember, there's more to a spirit man than just a spirit. He says a spirit man. He was something on the order of God. Now, this 126 man now. Right? Because right above there, he's giving a scripture. Come on. Something on the order of God. This man that was brought into being in Genesis 1:26 and 27 was something on the order of God, or the Son of God, the Logos. That was the first man. Then he gave him jurisdiction over all of it to be like the Holy Spirit leads. But he was something on the order of God. Now, may I say this? I told you many times, I don't mind quoting things. Brother Moat, many years ago, preached a message called The Expanding of God. And I still believe that. That God is not taking like an apple, taking it, cutting it up, giving away the pieces, you run out of apple. No, God is taking an apple, cut it up, you give it away, you got more apple. Cut it away, you got more apple. That's God. He never gets out and runs out. Right? So what about the expanding of God? Got these quotes in here, but it'll do Sunday. The expanding of God. What about God expanding himself? What about Brother Brown saying he's the beginning of the creation of God? He said, and we're the continuation of that creation. Well, Brother Dale, I've never heard these things before on predestination. Is that my fault? Well, bear with me. I bear with you. I come Sunday knowing something was wrong. And I got here and there was a lot of company. My wife knows what I done this afternoon. I was sitting in a study and a little while I got up, walked in there and I said, don't you need to go to Walmart to take back them rugs? I said, we'll go get us something to eat. Because I'd sit and looked at these notes and there was no need of doing it. When I came in and saw that lady walking down, I said, God, I know what you're doing. But that may not be all about it. But you see, I'm not trying to scare you with some gift. I fail to talk about the gifts of God because they're misunderstood. You can be a total lost hypocrite and the gifts will still work. But they will work because there's a true gift that does work. All right. But look, man was made something on the order of God. You know what? If that was eternal that was put into Adam, it must have been the life of God. So evidently, God in the beginning didn't create this man like we say create. We say create means a beginning. Well, now you explain how Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God. Come on. You can't do it. You'll run aground. Oh, that's when he started in flesh. Brother Brown takes him back as the Logos, the Son of God before the beginning. So don't get in all of that. Just listen and pray and say, Lord, help me. This man's serious. He's trying his best to get us to see something. Help me to understand. Let me follow you, Lord. And see, if this Genesis 1:26 man, if it's in the image of God, then whatever God is, that's what that man is. Then he made the woman in the same image of the man, so she's the same as that. Now he's talking about what? We read it, he's talking about just before then, what, that he had a bride. May I state something that's in the back in here? On the day of Pentecost, there was 120 in the upper room. And God came down and expanded himself into 120. You know what each one of those were? Him. Right? Well, you see what would have happened had there been no fall? He would have just brought into being his offspring. But he had that part of him to be a savior, to be a healer. So he couldn't bring it that way. See, the people of this message say, well, I never fail. Now, may I quote your prophet? He said he was doomed and lost and on his way to hell if God hadn't saved him. That's a paraphrasing, but it's very close. But you see, that's those doctrines of mankind. I always was eternal. I don't need no new birth. I always was eternal. What about this man? Let's read a few of them because we read them the other day, but I want to make sure you get it. Go ahead with the next one. Number 4, which is taken from show us the Father and it'll suffice us. And there he is, and now here's the Son, which is the Logos that went out of him, made in his image a supernatural being that went out in the beginning. Let us make man in our own image. After he made a man in his own image, he made a supernatural being. Who was the man? A supernatural being. He's in the image. Image means not that you're standing there, you know, you got an identical twin, you know, and you image or a picture or something. In the Bible, image and likeness means a person is in you that was in the beginning. A supernatural being. Look at number 5. The pillar of fire, 1953. He made man in his own image. And if he made man in his own image, he had to make him something on the order of that supernatural being. He had to make him on something in order. Look at the next one. Show us the Father. And when he made everything that looked nice and good to him, now he said, let us, plural, make man, plural, in our own image. What was he? There is a supernatural being. There is the one that could not be seen once. God the Father never was seen, never will be seen. He's all nature, and there he is. And now here's the Son, which is the Logos that went out of him, made in his image, a supernatural being that went out in the beginning. Let us make man in our own image. After he made the man in his own image, he made a supernatural being. Supernatural being. That was not just a regular. Because it wasn't a creation. If it's a supernatural being, it was God. Now may I read this one? Go ahead to number 5. Questions and answers on Genesis. He talks about the bees and things. And he asks this question. Let us. Who? Father and Son. See, now there's that us. That's where I got that from. I didn't have enough sense to figure out Father and Son would mean us and didn't mean three. Right? Let's make man in our own image. Now, if a man was made something like that little sacred light yonder or something like that, it could not be seen, which is a supernatural being. He manifested or unfolded himself down a little more to make a trinity of himself by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here was God unfolding himself now down into, now he's unfolding himself down into, let us make man, which was his son, an offspring from him. And let him have dominion over the cattle of the field. And so forth. Now the man led, and he's talking about it, he goes on to make, because that's the believer, right? Go to the next one. Hebrews chapter 2, paragraph 278. Now the Logos that went out of God, which was the Logos, all this began to form into a body shape. And this body shape was called, in the scholar's teaching, Logos. And Logos that went out of God, in other words, a better word for it, was what we call a theophany. Theophany is a human body that's glorified. Now what? Not exactly with flesh and blood like it will be in its glorified state, but it is of a form of a human body that doesn't eat, neither does it drink, but it's a body, and a body that's waiting for us as soon as we leave this one. Now in there we enter into that body, and that's the kind of body that God was, for he said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness. Now when God, when man became into that body, theophany, right? He had control of the fishes and beasts in the Genesis 2. See? Come on. But yet, what about a man making this statement? I'll end with this one because I got some more over here I want to tie together. Let's get one more. Number 7. Paragraph 229. Just think of it. Is there two eternal lives?
No.
Now, why would a man make that statement? Why would a prophet make that statement? Is there two eternal lives? I mean, I didn't believe nothing Baptist says two eternal lives, did you? Why is he saying that? Because he knows what's in the mind of mankind. In our thinking. And see, the man of Genesis 1, 26 and 27 was not a creation of eternal life. He was a part of God's own life. Whatever wording you want to use, set aside, imparted, multiplied. You know that Brother Brown believed in spiritual multiplication? Spiritual multiplication. Okay. You couldn't answer that, could you? There is one eternal life, and that's the life of God. This other kind of life, no matter what it is, it's got an end to it. And anything that had a beginning has an end. But anything that had no beginning has no end. And God said he would give us eternal life without beginning. We were just made a part of him. And actually, the life that's in us wasn't brought here by human nature. Nature gave us a spirit, but that spirit died, and we got the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Was God a man? Certainly. Let us make man in our own image. What was God? A theophany, a body. And there man was made like that and put over the garden. He had no senses and things, right? But there's where people don't understand. Was God a man? Brother Dale, you seem to make it to the point that God is real. I try to. You seem to make it to the point that he's a man.
Amen.
I try to, because that's what I believe. According to Hebrews, is it 7:4? 6:4, 7:4, right in there. The man, Melchizedek. Brother Brown said, see there. Said he called him a man.
Amen.
He said, it's not a man how burly and how big and strong you are. He said, that's not man. He said, it's a man when he's very weak and humble in God. That's a real man. The Bible speaks of the man, Christ Jesus. You say, well, that's easy to understand because it comes down to a flesh being. But according to Brother Branham, Moses saw the theophany as the back part of a man. And Brother Branham explained that that man finally became flesh and was known as Jesus Christ. You mean your theophany looks like somebody else? You know, I thought it looked like you. I thought Brother Branham, when he went beyond the curtain of time, did he call them a theophany? I thought that the angel of the Lord said, this is the scripture, souls under the altar. I thought when he went beyond the curtain of time that he saw his first wife and knew her. Oh, she was just a puff of cloud just floating down through there. No, he describes what he saw. He said women with long hair and gowns on and things, you know. And he said men. He said, and with a little shoulder-length hair on their men, you know, a little curled up maybe. You ever heard him explain that? You know? But you see, he said, well, what did he see? He saw souls under the altar in theophany. He saw real people and could handle them. He said, a theophany, he said, does it have, he said, it's got a better eye and a better hand than what we got. I'm quoting him. It's better. What did God look like then before the world? Why did he not make us look like monkeys dragging our hands on our knuckles on the ground? Maybe we might realize one of these days that there is a little bit more to the reality of God being real. And that God look like us. No, he's just a spirit. See, now there's where you're going. I thought Brother Branham saw Jesus. He said Hoffman was the closest. Now, he didn't say Hoffman was right. He said Hoffman was the closest picture. And he said, I've always got one in my church, in my home. Well, see, I got two back here behind. If you want to show them on the screens, you can show them. Because one of those was a picture drawn of Hoffman at the age for Jesus to be at the age of 30. Most people don't know that story. But he drawed a picture again at the age of what he called him as 33. And that's what it's known as. This is the 30. This is the 33. You can even look at him and see the olderness of looks and the dirtiness, worn out garments and things. But he said that wasn't exactly. But he said it was close. Well, I wonder what that man looked like that appeared to Abraham. You see, church, it might really dawn on us one of these days, but this man that we talk of, 126 and 27, is a multiple form, an expanding of God, a bride of Jesus Christ, the Christ, the eternal God in a multiple form, shown to be the children or the offspring of God. We might realize that one day. What is your God? How real is he? Come on, brothers. Musicians, come on, brothers. I had a little bit more I wanted to get into, but would you stop there and pick it up Sunday? And just pray that the Lord would bless us. Keep our thinking, because that's what we desire, is to have our thinking in God. But do you see what that Genesis 1:26 and 27 man is? That's a many-membered person, which is the person of God. But a many-membered. You say, but I don't understand it. Well, what about on the day of Pentecost? When the Holy Ghost fell, the prophet said he divided himself among the people. You realize every person in the world that's born again has got the person of Jesus Christ within you? But I tried to explain that Sunday morning just a little bit. It's not two people standing, one standing inside of me and this and that. No, he just simply come down to me. I am a person, body, spirit, and soul. He come down and he gave eternal life to my soul. He and I are together as persons. Not two people standing inside of there all crowded up. Well, I just don't know. I just believe what Grandma taught me. Okay. May I quote Brother Branham? There was a time Grandma believed in hell being eternal. I'm paraphrasing it. May not be exact, but said, but we don't believe in it no more. He said, because the word has been revealed. Thank God for the truth. Right, let's stand. What do we got, brother?
Try 246 in the spiral book.
Anybody have a need? The altar is open. 246.
Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Have you a thought that's weak?
Anybody have a need?
Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? Where is your heart?
What about it?
Pilgrim,
you have a need.
What
think about this great one that we're talking about. Think about it.
Hears you call for comfort when not but sorrow you feel. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard?
We'll send this prayer cloth down to her. You take it to her, give it to her. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth to our sister that by believing the word, that we believe by your stripes, she's healed. And we thank you. And we condemn that demon of all things that would be in any way to try to hinder our sisters from being healed. We love you and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know you love him? Anybody have a need? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide in the end? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Made in the image of God. God expanding himself. Bringing into being a people. Bringing into being a people. An offspring. We are his children. Those heavy bands, lift up those holy hands. Oh God's people, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And all God's people, praise the Lord. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up those holy hands. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Ain't God good? Ain't God good to give us so many blessings?
That's what we are. We all do thank him. Love and praise him. Little more today. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again.
We send these prayer calls. Our brother's got them on his mind. And he's come up asking for prayer. So remember, Lord, Brother Clinton and Buddy and all the different ones. Remember Sister Peggy and Brother Dean and the different ones, our Lord. We send these prayer calls. Believe in you that by your stripes they are healed, and we thank you. And we commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else?
Of his kingdom, we are family, we are one. Ain't God good?
Do you love him? We ought to love him.
That's what we
look
are.
What he's done for us.
We all do thank him.
Love and praise him a little more today. You're dismissed. Remember, service is Sunday. Pray one for another. Father, just be with everybody on the way home and take care of everything, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name.
I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again, banner conqueror, that's what I am, I'm a new creation.